Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the ROP Drafting Team's penholders on Thursday, 28th February at 20 UTC. On the call we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Yaovia Tohun, Alan Greenberg, Natalia Enciso, E. Roland Sipuro, Holly Raich, and Maury Hilliard. We have apologies from Salanieta Tamanika-Waimaro. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much.
Caroline Grenell here. Thank you very much, Julia. If you can just use scroll control to the little screen so people can individually move up and down the document, that would be excellent. If not, Sylvia could do that. One of the two people in yellow can do that anyway. I am in yellow, yes, I know that, but I'm operating off an Android tablet, so none of those facilities are available to me. Cheryl, here again, or should I say still, I'm simply going to give you the world's quickest purpose of the call, and then we're going to dive right into it. As was noted, we have a hard stop at the top of the hour with another call coming in. So we'll say right now that we do not expect that that the whole of this document will be necessarily gotten through in a now less than 60 minutes call. So I believe that staff will be either have already looked at some of the options for early next week. If not, this will be coming out shortly. So we'll need to get through as much of this now agreed document as possible. The purpose of this call, let's be really clear. This is version, and I'm pretty sure it says 52, but I suspect of 52 plus. We are not changing content, per se. We are looking for gross omissions and errors. We are not discussing on what should or should not be in it. We've done all of that literally to the nth degree. I'm going to note for the record here the heroic amount of work that so many of you have put into all of this, including some of the non-pen holders like Renalia. It has been an amazing experience, and I think it's a quality document that we are near the very, very end of. I'm feeling in a penultimate mood at this point at least. Alan Greenberg needs to be specifically called out for the record. He, for fair means or foul now, I think you may believe, said he would hold the pen for all of you pen holders and bludgeon this into a single synthesised document. That is what we have in front of us at the moment, and this is what we're now going to go through, highlighting the primary changes from our last set of full agreements and what we are aiming to have at the end of, if not this hour, another hour to come. On either the 4th or the 5th of March, will be a completed document for ALAP review. Don't think there's anything else for me to say other than to get over to Alan, who I'm at least, can I say, not amazed at, but very, very impressed with, because I know the fantastic amount of work he can do and does do. But it has been a huge task, Alan, and we all give you our very deep and humble thanks and gratitude. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, both for the intro and for the kind words. Whoever on staff has control of Adobe, could we please have individuals have control over the PDF section of the screen so they can scroll and change the magnification?
Someone push the sync button. S-Y-N-C-H. Sync button, bottom, right. I don't have one, but I know where it lives.
I don't see one.
No. Well, someone on staff, Julia or Sylvia, have it.
Thank you.
They're moving the screen, but we don't see the control yet.
It won't work unless we all have control.
Yeah, I'm just sorry, guys. Let me just...
Stop multitasking.
Okay. Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Does it work
now? Now we have it.
Thanks, Heidi.
I'll let them know how it works.
Okay, now I'll point out I'm working from a paper copy and another version on my screen to help me make notes about what has to change. So if someone has a hand up and I don't notice it, please someone yell out and tell me, or that person yell out. One minor correction on what Cheryl said, there are a very small number of items which still need to be discussed via substance. I'll call them out when we get to them, but there are a very small number like that.
And I encourage you to have short conversations over them.
I hope so, because I think we have closure on most of them.
That was Cheryl intervening. Over to you, Alan. Let's go.
Thank you.
What page?
Well, just the description, first of all. The definitions and defined terms has grown to be longer than I feel comfortable with. The intent was to only put things there which are used in multiple places separate from where it is defined. So in other words, if it's used in Section 12 and defined in Section 2, it should be in here. If it's defined in Section 13 and only used in Section 13, it would not be defined. There probably are some that have snuck in that don't have references like that, so they will be disappearing. Other than that, I think it is reasonably complete. If anyone notes anything missing, so be it, let me know. I've tried to clean up the formatting as much as possible. I'm sure there are still some problems, but hopefully there are a lot less than we had before. The first thing I want to talk about is in 3.5, roughly page 6. And somebody has taken control of the screen back again so we can't scroll our own screens.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is version 53, just so everyone knows. That was 52. Sorry about that.
53 or 52, it doesn't really matter. There are only minor changes, most of them in the table of definitions. In terms of formatting, there's no content difference.
This is 53 now, just so you know.
Okay. Well, that was what we started with, actually. I don't know when 52 got on. Section 3.5.
Yep.
I've added a term on the ALAC leadership team that it is normally comprised of 5 members, in that on occasion we will have someone resigning, either from the ALT or from the ALAC, and there may be gaps on occasion. So we don't want the group to be invalidated because it doesn't have absolute number of 5. So that was a simple change. I don't think anyone's going to object. Yaovi, please.
Yaovi speaking. Sorry, is it possible to go back? You already mentioned that there are problems of formatting, very few problems you are going to fix, but I don't know if it's the time to talk about something I noticed on the first page.
You might as well, since you already have the floor, but in general I'd like to get formatting comments and complaints electronically, but since you're talking, go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe the general comment, the formatting issue, we have on the first page, I'm going back to my screen, on the first page, we have... can we have the first page on the screen?
You can scroll yourself on the screen.
Their own first page.
Yeah. Okay. Very strange. I don't have what I'm expecting yet. Okay. So this is a different version.
What version are you looking at?
Oh, okay.
52 is the same.
Yeah. No. It's correct. If you number eight. You can see number 8. So
yeah, okay.
My comment is there.
Yes, I left that section in because if I remove that, every other section in the document gets renumbered.
Okay.
So for this draft, I've left it in so that we don't have any confusion that Section 12 is Section 12, regardless of which version you're looking at.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Let's go back now to Section 3.5. And we did 3.5 already, I think. That was
a hand up, though.
Yes, I don't see a hand up, but...
No, my hand is up.
Oh, your hand is up. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Virtually. I remember my tablet won't let me actually put my hand up. Yes is my answer to this, but we all need to recognise by saying it exactly this way, it is probably one of the few rules that we, if and when the region number changes, we need to come back in and alter. Most rules that have anything to do with regions in this document have been worded so that they are not numerically tied, but that doesn't matter. I have no problem letting this run as is, as long as those who are alive and sane, if and when we have 6, 7 or 4 regions, remember to pop back in and change it.
At which point, if nothing else, the number of ALAC members will almost surely change.
And
the number per region and things. So these rules will have to be revisited should these change.
It's not an error. It's not something we need to change now. But it is something that somebody, Heidi, needs to put in a file note somewhere that this is one of the rules that needs updating if and when regional balance changes. And normally, that's why it normally works. Sorry, Alan, but it's up to late.
But you're going to have to believe me, there's a lot of changes that will have to come in, not just that one. So, okay, I noticed, just a note on 5.9.8, there's a reference that needs to be fixed. It will be fixed.
Give people time to get through.
Okay. 5.12.1.
Yep.
Yep, there's a one on there. That's page 8 for people who are trying to get my page number.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is one there's been substantive discussion on the mailing list, not the list, but on the emails for this review group. The sentence that's highlighted is what happens if the chair must restrict someone's posting rights or delete a post or something like that because of, you know, perhaps legal action, because of improper action, and there is no opportunity to consult with anyone ahead of time. Those who have been chairs have told me that when this happens, it happens quickly, and there is no time to call for telephone calls and things like that. We have suggested that after the fact, the ALT, the leadership team, the current wording is be advised of what has happened. Tajani felt that really we needed to say has to get the approval of the ALT. My position is there's not really much difference because in either case, if they're not if they're advised and they don't like it or they don't give the approval, you know, a decision is going to have to be made. Do we get rid of the chair because it was such a bad thing to do, or do we just live with it or whatever? So there's not much difference. Renalia has suggested that instead of seek approval, it seek validation of the action. The question is, do people here have strong feelings? Tajani is not on this call, unfortunately. I believe he was the only one who was pushing for the approval. Can we have a consensus of this call about which way do we go? Anyone like to speak to it? Does anyone care?
Can I put my hand up after Cheryl, please?
Yes, Cheryl, go ahead.
Okay, Holly, hopefully I'm not going to say what you're going to say. And here I'm speaking as a chair who has had to enact this current rule, and it is a current rule. This is not new. This is something that is written better, but it is exactly in activity what we do now. This is one I argue strongly should go no further than validation on. There are many times, now by many, I can count them on one hand, and that's a pretty big handful, where the necessity to bring sanction upon a list member also means that other actions that are going on means that the chair is unable to even discuss the details or any great amount of the details. Because it's already been removed, no one can see it anyway. So in terms of damage control, I'm perfectly happy to go for validation because an ALT that is effective, intelligent and not looking to find themselves individually, or should I say jointly or severally, in a somewhat solicitous environment, will clearly see the wisdom of the action and go along with it. So validation is fine. Approval, I totally object to, because you will be asking your leadership team, in some circumstances, to approve of something that they literally have no ability to have the specific knowledge of. But that you can validate something on principle and not approve it on principle. Thank you.
All right. With that rather impassioned plea, I would suggest that we omit one of the options, approval, and we're talking about advise or seek validation. Holly, you wanted to speak?
I'm comfortable with either advice or validation. I do agree with what Cheryl said. I've not been in the position. I think she's in a better position. My two comments would be, number one, the chair has been selected. We ought to at least trust the chair. And number two, this we have to trust that the chair is not going to act unless the chair has found real reason to. So seeking approval
Holly, let me interrupt. We've already taken approval off the table. We're now looking for whether we want validation or whether we want advice.
I think the two are pretty close. I'd be comfortable with either.
Okay, you don't have any advice for us then. Yovi.
No.
thank you. I'm sorry, I was not able to hear very well what Sherry said, so excuse me if I'm repeating something. My point is about 5.12.3. This is the only one action for which I see the chair consulting other people, because for the first two, they may be very urgent, and I'll cross the chair. So my point is that this validation on or consultation is more important for me for 5.12.3, where there is a need to exclude somebody. So this consultation is more important for me for this type of action, but not necessarily for the first two. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll let Cheryl speak up if she wants to, or Olivier. I'll give my two cents in, because I've been in rooms where someone had to be escorted out now.
Yep.
There is no time to consult on that. You do it, and then maybe people chastise you for it. But I'll let Cheryl and Olivier speak up.
I was going to say, Alan, indeed, that was a fun time indeed. But yes, the people on this call need to know we have actually had to exercise in the wonderful world of ICANN, the requirement to have security escort, immediate sanction and escort. So trust us, it's not a situation where you can sit down and work it out.
Yeah. Mind you, there are other people watching, so they will have plenty of time to criticize afterwards should they feel you did the wrong thing.
You can't change your mind in ICANN without five people knowing about it.
Yeah. So
nothing is going to be secret.
So, Yovi, I really don't think in 12.3 we can do anything, but you're saying in 5.12.1 you're happy with either advise or seek validation. Anyone else want to speak? At this point, I'm the only one giving a preference for advise over validation. I don't want to be the ruling one. Olivier, are you online? I see you're on Adobe.
I certainly am online, Alan. It's Olivier for the special record. I haven't been in this situation, so I I think I'll go along with your preference on this. Because I certainly have not been in a situation where this was required at the time.
I'm sorry, I thought you said you were. We're talking about point one now, not point three.
Oh, I thought you were talking about point three.
No,
sorry,
three
about
we've
that.
Discarded. Point one,
yeah.
Advise or seek validation.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer advice, but seek validation. In any case, both are going to result in the same thing. Either the ALC will say, good job, or will say, no, we don't agree. But the deed will have been done anyway. So that's, you know, what
yeah,
does it change on the basis of that?
And I think in both cases, the chair may be in a position where the chair has to say to the rest of the ALT, I can't tell you the details, but...
That's right.
And I think either of them will work in that case. Okay.
Correct.
So I think there's a tendency, if we want to err towards the more conservative one, we'll use the validation one.
I'm happy with that, Cheryl, here. I'm happy with that because I think those of the rest of the 15 who have to talk about this, who have never been in a situation nor even had association with such things as yet, aren't they lucky little chooks, will feel comfortable enough with the validation. But I do want to be on the record, having been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, my personal, purely personal view is actually just for advice, but that's probably because I have a more power-hungry Machiavellian lifestyle. But yeah, validation, I think, will get through.
Okay, the wording is awkward. We'll seek validation from the ALT, which
yeah.
I'd be at pains to explain what that means.
Well, sometimes rules are like that.
Yeah. Okay, Cheryl, how about you and I talk about this afterwards? No one else seems to have a strong feeling, and we'll deal with this and decide what comes out of it, okay? Next thing we have is Section 6, and the title and 6.1.
Alan, my hand was up.
Yes, sorry, Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivier for the transcript. I think that seek validation, if one was to be a fly on the wall, would be something of the type, or at least how I imagine it to be, something of the type, this is what I've done, do you agree? Rather than this is what I've done without the do you agree? And in any case, knowing the how voiceful the ALC is, whether there is just advice which says this is what I've done, or whether there is the question afterwards which says do you agree, I'm absolutely convinced that the ALT would be saying whether they agree or not.
Of course, that's why I said I didn't think there's any difference.
It comes down to the bottom. The only response would be the response of the chair. If the ALT does not agree, then the chair might just say, well, sod off then. But that's a different thing, and that's something which would happen with the chair at the ALT.
Again, regardless. Okay, thank you, Olivier. Section 6. I'm trying to think what
was
the...
I thought Olivia was putting his hand up at Cheryl.
Oh, okay, sorry, you're right. I didn't realize that the comment was pointing to that one. Okay, that's the situation where the chair has disappeared, has not assigned responsibilities to anyone. We have two vice chairs, and they can't come to agreement who's going to be the chair. The original version I had is in such a situation... Staff will carry out a random selection.
Flip a coin, yeah.
Flip a coin, whatever. Olivier, Renalia, you know, said it should really be staff doing the selection. Olivier had some problems that staff should not be in a position of selecting leaders. There was a suggestion... either we keep it as random selection carried out by staff, or selection by staff in consultation with the ALT, and a random selection. You know, if they can't come to any agreement, I'm happy to leave the simple version. The reality is, if we're ever in this situation, people are going to talk to each other.
Ellen, it's Holly. May I ask why the ALT would not be doing its job, and why staff should make a decision rather than the executive itself?
Well, the ALT is scattered around the world. You may not be able to convene an ALT meeting at any given time.
Sure. But
and we're trying to make sure that the ALEC has a chair, someone who at least on an interim basis can act as a chair.
And remember, Holly Cheryl here, we're talking about a random selection. The rule already says two vice chairs are fighting over, if the two vice chairs cannot agree, who is going to be the interim chair, then someone should flip a coin. That's what we're saying. So
I know. I actually
think if they do the other ALT members consultation, as Alan is suggesting, that's far enough. What we're talking about here, let's be really, really dumbed down here. It's the difference between Heidi being able to flip a coin and make an announcement, obviously having, two competing vice chairs as part of that process, and the rest of the ALAC perhaps not knowing that there was this much discord, which might be a good thing, or Heidi being able to talk to the other non-vice chairs. The vice chairs know they're in conflict. Bringing in the rest of the ALT and saying, we need to flip a coin. I'm going to do it at this time. And that's the difference of just being able to have an action of flipping a coin or discuss with the full five-member team in whatever way possible, but not necessarily convening a meeting. But members of, but what it, this the way Alan's written his alternative thing, if you can't get onto the person who is in Antarctica on a field trip, it doesn't matter because she consulted members of the ALT, not all of the ALT.
Cheryl, if I may interrupt, I've just penned a change, and maybe this will make everyone happy. I'm suggesting changing 5.14.2 to start. One of the vice chairs, by mutual agreement of the vice chairs, by mutual agreement of the vice chairs, in consultation with other ALT and ALAC members.
Thank you.
So they can bring other people into the discussion. They don't only have to have a private discussion.
That's fine too.
I don't think it alters what would happen in reality, but we're putting that into the rules.
Yes.
Now, okay. And I'll do a similar thing in 5.14.3.
At the end of the day, though, my point in principle, and it still has not been responded to, is if we're all over 21 on a team and we can't resolve something and we actually have to go running off to our little parents to say, please solve it for us, it looks a little silly, frankly.
I just think,
unless it's near process, why can't a member of the ALT actually flip the coin? Why aren't we responsible for ourselves?
Holly, if I may, it's exactly the same reason that we'll often use staff as returning officers in
different
election process.
Absolutely different. Absolutely different. The reason you have a returning officer...
May I take control back as the chair?
Yes, please.
What we're trying to do is draft rules which are bulletproof and ensure we have a chair. If the people quibbling among themselves cannot come to an agreement, we want a fast out, period. Should it not be necessary? Of course it should not be necessary.
Yes. Okay, look, discussion for later. I'll leave with you a modification. You've heard my point of view.
Okay. Look, this is going to go to the ALAC. If you want to draft an alternative wording, and we can put it to a vote or critique it and see if we believe it's workable, fine.
Okay.
Cheryl here, just on that, though, yes, it's going to go to the ALAC, but if the ALAC puts this under significant rewrite, I'll not only be very disappointed, I'll also be somewhat fearful. Because you have got half of the ALAC are the pen writers already. And on the same principle, Holly, as you've just about it, we really ought to be able to come to a pretty firm agreement beforehand. This is a belt, braces and bulletproof vest section. If you have vice chairs who cannot agree,
you may very well have a dysfunctional ALAC.
Quite.
And someone needs to take interim control. So a coin needs to be flipped. It will be flipped as quickly as possible. But, yeah, I agree. It's going to be a very sad and pathetic thing if the ALAC is... In fact, if we were up to in using this rule, Holly, the very next thing we would probably be doing is dissolving the ALAC. And so the interim chair would probably be appointed to wrap the whole thing up and stand in front of ICANN and say why it was failing.
You know, I think our real problem is going to be finding someone who's willing to be chair and not having people fight over it.
Exactly.
Okay. Moving right along.
Who wants to commit political suicide? That's going to be the question.
Okay. Moving right along. Section 6.
Stand up.
Yes, sir.
Helen, it's Olivier for the transcript. Can you see the hands or...
I can if I look up on my screen.
it's better to call hand up.
You have two eyes and two ears, so use them. just kidding. Alan, I think that, to rediscuss and reopen text when the ALAC actually reads through it is probably not
I hope that's the case, and I thought I sent that message.
I hope that if Holly can supply alternative text on the list after this call or in the next 24 hours or so, we can just discuss that on the list. For the record, I'm happy with the random selection by staff. But if Holly has another idea that might even be better than that, then, it'd be great to be able to consider it. However, it needs to be something quick, because discussing it at the ALAC level will basically give a light to opening everything else up as well, and it's just going to be messed up.
I agree. I take back the statement. I take back my offer of what Holly should do. And by the way, of course you're happy with it. You've already been run over by a truck.
this is literally, the chair has a heart attack at the table. The EMTs have left, and now... neither of the two vice chairs sitting on the left or the right-hand side, for whatever reason, can agree to his own chair. This is the situation we're talking about.
Cheryl, if the chair cared, he would have appointed a replacement before the heart attack.
Well, most chairs probably would manage that, so we might need to go for the headshot assassination. But whichever, yes.
All right. Can we go ahead?
Yes, please. It's now. You've got 25 minutes to get through the rest of the document.
It's not that much, actually. That's
I'm not convinced we're going to get through the rest of the page at this point.
We've done it.
I have told you to move on.
I can't move my.
Okay. 6.1.
Right.
A suggestion from Renalia that the using the word administration sounds bureaucratic, and we want to kill all tones of bureaucracy. It was added because other people objected to the fact that the ALT manages. Where do we go on this one? I don't much care. Anyone? Cheryl,
yes,
Olivier?
All right. My gut feeling. In fact, if you're managing, you are administering. It's sort of... these rules are themselves... bureaucratic. You can't escape it. Can we just wear the reality?
Fine.
And put both and leave it?
I can. Anyone want to fight for removing it? Renalia is unfortunately not here, but she has basically said she's not unhappy with the document as it stands.
Well, let's move on.
Okay, leave alone.
Move on. Here we go.
Okay. The next note I have of red. Hold on. We're making really good progress.
Yeah, we might actually make it through.
And we're on 11.3.2.
Page 13 for everyone else in the world.
Page 14 on mine, but maybe 13 for you.
Yep.
Okay. This was a simple discussion of why do we need have the documents there. I think this one actually came from Holly.
Oh, yes.
The reason for not having it is we don't want to have to change the rules of procedure if we add or subtract an adjunct document. But if we add or subtract an adjunct document, it's because we changed the rules of procedure. So
yeah.
I think this is as good a place to put it as any.
Okay. Okay. My only comment was, if we put something in, are we going to have to go through another torturous process simply to add another document? So as long as the wording allows for the development of additional rules of procedure, fairly simply, then I'm comfortable.
Holly, my belief is this document is in good enough shape that when we make changes from now on, we will change the rules of procedure. It will not be torturous because they're clean enough that we should be able to know how to change it, unlike the previous ones where we deferred adding the FCOM for 4 years because no one wanted to suffer the pain.
Is that a warranty that is subject to trade practice law?
Only for 7 years, but yes.
Okay.
And I noticed there's two kinds of dashes in section 11.3.2. I'll fix that.
Thank you.
Next, 11.6.
Hand up.
Hand up.
It's Olivier for the transcript. I'm not used to shouting out like this. Alan, 11.3.2, so you've got these these names, ROP Adjunct 01. Matt and I have had a call together to develop actual file names and reference codes. I would be pretty happy to have the reference document reference codes to be put in there, for the reason that if one is looking for these adjunct documents, these are structured in such a way that if you go on Google worldwide and do a search on that, it's highly likely that it will be the only document out there in the ether that will have that reference code. So they will be easily found. The only problem, though, is that if the reference code, which does have revisions in there, changes, you would need to be able to make a change to the reference code in the rule. And I'm not quite sure legally how that works. I'm no lawyer. Does one need to have one clause which says that reference codes may change or not without needing to reopen the whole thing? I don't know about that.
Okay. Olivier, that is exactly the reason I did not put in the long formal reference code. I've created a reference code which will be unique in all of Google. I can pretty well guarantee this. And it doesn't change when we revise these documents. These documents were put into adjunct documents and not in the rules of procedure, so we could change them more easily. So we are expecting them to change on a regular basis. So I don't mind if there's a formal document number that is over and above these, but I would prefer to keep something like this. And since the title is probably unique throughout all of Google, but maybe not, I created these very unique
Alan?
Document numbers. Yes.
Alan, it's Olivier for the transcript. Unfortunately, you have created that title, but you've made the major mistake of sending that into a file onto the discussion lists, which, if you check with Google right now, has already been indexed by Google. So you won't only end up with that document, but will end up with all of the discussions around that document, and it would be very difficult for someone to find which one is the real one.
Can we have this one offline, please? It's between me and Olivier.
Yes,
I think we can...
Cheryl here, just one way out of this.
Yeah.
And it's the way, for example, the Australian Air Traffic Authority does it for all of their pilots, is that, in fact, I think several Air Traffic Authorities do it, and I've done it on emergency medicine manuals, is that you have as an integral part of your rules of procedure, and it's line that says, you know, the index overrides everything else, a separate page which has the most current version of whatever adjunct documents exist. And it's incumbent on the owner of those rules to keep that up to date. So have your conversation offline. That is how very complicated systems do it.
And I note we are very, very bad at keeping things up to date, which have to be kept up to date.
Well, that could be a staff responsibility. People who you pay to do things normally do what they're told or should do, have in their job description, and if they don't, they get fired or fined.
Cheryl, I stand by what I said, but let's handle this one offline. You can be part of the discussion, too, if you'd like.
Moving right along.
I'm going to try.
Hey, if you're getting there, don't you?
11.6.
Right.
Sorry, there's a discussion going on. I'm not sure what it's about, but...
Cheryl, no. I was just saying page 14 for your 11.6.1.
Okay. Okay, Yaovi asked in one of the revisions whether we would give dial-outs to people who said simply say, I want to join the call. It was a good question. Even dial-ins, I believe, cost ICANN money. If suddenly there are 300 people on this call instead of 12, I believe the costs are different. Yes, go ahead, Lucy.
Thank you, Alan. I think you missed 11.4.1. You didn't go through that. And that actually relates to, actually links in with one of Sala's comments with regards to the use of shall, should, etc.
Can we come back to it after we finish the
normalize that?
Then?
Sure.
Thank you. What I put in here is, if I can find it now, sound recordings and transcripts be available on a timely matter where technically possible and cost-effective. Live access will be provided where practical. So it's a judgment call to what extent we allow live access and what the exact mechanism is. Everyone happy with that?
Happy with that, thank you.
Yep, that's a good one. Back up a page.
Okay, back up a page now. All meetings should have an agenda, preferably published. Okay. The question is, there is already the word should. Do we need or want the word preferably?
Oh.
Hand up.
Yes, go
Alan,
ahead.
Sorry, Alan, I'm real nightmare today. I don't know why. I should check with my therapist. It's Olivia for the transcript record. 11.6.1, I'm cringing about the sound recordings and transcripts will be available in a timely manner where technically possible and cost-effective. I'm worried about the cost-effective thing because without any sound recordings, without transcripts, I'm really worried about the transparency of the process of an ALAC meeting that takes place without those basic things.
Well,
maybe
never
not transcripts, but certainly sound recordings.
Okay.
And one of the reasons for it being that the ALAC XCOM call, XCOM meetings in on Friday morning, I do not want them to be certainly cut off from sound recording and whatever, and having to conduct a meeting with just microphones and a pen and paper.
Okay, okay.
That's just not
Olivia, you don't have to fight for it. All you're saying is you believe sound recording should be mandatory.
That's my feeling.
Then fine,
thank
done.
You.
Anything else?
Alan?
Yes?
Could I just point out, this is probably for the transcript record, if you take it's the adverb phrase, available in a timely manner, I don't think what's being called in question is that they will be available. It is whether they will be available in a timely manner. So if that's, and that's the way I read it, not that they won't be available, but... the timely manner is, in other words, it may take a bit more time than we would like, but they will be available. Now, maybe we reword it, because clearly Olivier picked up a meaning I did not frankly pick up.
Okay, the way I am reading this now is sound recordings will generally, and there may be exceptions, be available in a timely manner.
Yes.
Transcripts may be available in a timely manner. I'm sorry, the sound recordings also has the word technically possible.
Yeah.
Sound recordings where technically possible will generally be available in a timely whatever.
Yeah.
The cost effective will only be on the transcript part.
Fine.
Everyone okay with this? No hands? Tick. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Olivier. I've lost track of where we are now. I think we're back at 11.4.1, and the question is, do we leave the sentence as all meetings should have an agenda preferably published ahead of time? There, you know,
Cheryl, if we leave out the...
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Cheryl here. I still like preferably, you know, should have an agenda. Absolutely. Preferably published ahead of time as opposed to published ahead of time just leaves a tiny bit of wriggle room for when unpredictable things.
That's what my feeling was also. That one is talking about the existence, the other is talking about the timing.
Okay.
So I say leave it as. Cheryl says it. No one else has a hand up. Olivier still has a tick mark, which will take to be for this.
That's clever.
Hey, I'm learning some tricks as chair.
It was my second tick mark.
Okay.
Well done.
All right. Next item that I see any comment on is 12.2.2.
Page 18 for everyone else in the world.
Yeah, that's fine.
What does it say? This allows a different process to be... Okay. There used to be a section saying somewhere, I don't remember exactly where it was, but it said, if any of the rules here differ from the rules in the chair selection process, they have precedence. And Rinalia felt that was a rather vague statement, and why can't we simply make sure there are no conflicts? I went through them with some detail, and the only places I found conflicts, and there were other things other than the chair selection, was in vote counting. That is, normally we count abstentions. We don't count abstentions for a number of things, including selection of the chair, removal of an ALAC member, recall of an ALT member. We need a percentage of the sitting ALAC. That is, everyone can't cop out and say, I abstain, so they don't count, they don't take part in the decision. If everyone abstains, then it doesn't pass. So we needed an exemption from the all votes are counted this way, and that's what this exception, that's why this clause was added. And I've given examples. I think they're exhaustive, but I'm not 100% sure they're exhaustive, which is why I called them examples. Everyone happy? No hands?
Yes.
No one yelling?
Yes.
Happy, happy, happy.
Good, good, good. 14.2.3. There was some question about, in various places, we used to say, you will do this on the public list, or something like that.
Oh, God, yes. Pain of my existence.
Sorry?
Cheryl, yes, the text in those existing rules is the bane of my existence. So
well,
yes.
Okay. There are several issues with it. Number one, we have multiple public lists.
Yeah.
Number two, they actually called for some things on public lists, which are current principles, say you would never, ever, ever do in a public list, that is shame someone and say we're about to fire you. How those got written, we won't even talk about now, but they did. What this says is it takes out of the rules the details of how you distribute information. It will be in a document, and you'll be seeing, the ALAC will be seeing something on that document very soon. But and it's called distribution lists because it's not necessarily mailing lists. Some things it might say, go to this person or go to these people or something like that. So I hope there's no one with any problem with this. I see no hands.
It.
I hear no voices.
Only affirmation from me.
Okay.
Moving right along.
What I've tried to do in a lot of these things is make it so that we don't have to say, that's a rule, but we're not going to follow it this time.
that we can actually make sure we follow our rules by making them flexible enough to apply. I know it's a weird concept.
Alex.
We may actually finish this document today. No, we
yes, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay, well, we have
moving
to
right
talk
along.
Quickly. 17.3.6. This is a catch-all paragraph that says we have to select ALAC members. Hopefully we'll be able to do it congenially. We may have to do it by ballot if there is contention. And the question is, do we do this as a normal vote of the ALAC where abstentions count, for instance? Do we do it where abstentions don't count? Does it need to be an action of the sitting ALAC as the selection of the chair is? I think we should use our standard rules. Abstentions count. You know, abstentions count as abstentions. We don't count them. Whoever's available for the vote is available for the vote. And, of course, we can extend votes. Like any other vote, we can extend it to catch people who aren't in the room at the time. And I would suspect we should add, we'll optionally include, Cheryl, what's the expression for
runoff.
Sorry, the automatic runoff.
Yes, instant runoff.
Instant runoff as an option if necessary.
Yes.
In other words, give flexibility to the group at the time. We don't know what the exact details are going to be, but provide some guidance.
And if you need to use instant runoff, that's a very specific thing. It's already established, and we actually have boringly detailed explanations of it in the ALAC documentation.
Okay. Everyone happy on that one?
Yep.
Okay. Next one I see is
18.3. That's just yes as far as I'm concerned. This is just agreed.
Yeah, this one is basically formalizing what we did for the ATRT selection. And again, giving flexibility to the group to form the committee as necessary, but saying it's a sanctioned way to do it.
Yep. So the whole of 18, from my perspective, Cheryl, is just agreed.
Good. 19.1. Oh, well,
yeah,
that was the note. Renalia came up with much better wording. That said it far clearer. I took the words out of the bylaws, and I think we can choose to leave the words as they're worded in the bylaws.
I agree, Cheryl. Here they have to be what it is in the bylaws. If we start bringing for text,
Her version would have amounted to exactly the same thing, expressed using different words, and somewhat more generically. But so be it. 19.11, this one is on selection of the board seat, so it is a critical one.
Yep.
The current rules, which were, you know, molded but changed into these, called for the 15 ALAC members plus RALO chairs. Conceivably, some of those positions might be vacant. I would suggest that we have a paragraph akin to 19.7.1, that is, if a 7.1 says that if one of the electors is a candidate, the region can select someone else for the purposes of that vote. I suggest we do the same thing here so that we maintain full representation in terms of number of votes from each region.
I think this That language is wise to put in there, Cheryl, for the record.
Okay. Why we didn't have it last time, I'm not sure, but that's history.
Yep, it is. But Cheryl, here again, if we can just make sure that where it says 15 ALAC members,
Perhaps if we should say the entire ALAC and then use the wording of 19.7.1, where ALAC is not, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, okay.
I'll leave that to you, but, you know.
Okay, either way, they're equivalent until the number changes. And as I said at the beginning of the meeting, if the number ever changes, either the number of regions or number of ALAC members, there's going to be work to do.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the paragraph before, three of the five RALOs, as an example.
Yes.
Not only would we have to change the five, we might want to revise the three.
Yeah, understood.
Okay. Next one is 19.11.2.
That's just a yes, I think. It's just a change of the word.
Okay. Well, I changed the word, and we had formal action, and several people objected to that vague term. And what I'm saying is it requires the fact that the vote is going to be directed and the nature of the vote, which way the person is to vote, must be done through formal votes of the RALO. That is, we don't want to be accused of having the three people on the executive committee of the RALO direct the vote, or something like
that's
that.
That's the ALS's direct power.
That's correct.
Direct.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's
so
important.
I think everyone will be happy with that, but let me know if not. 19.11.3 is something that we had exhaustive discussions on, of should the ALAC members be subject to direction. And on the call of the ESADT that we had, there was one of the few times we've had virtual unanimity that the answer was no. These people are elected, and they should be given the option to vote. But we didn't come up with words. I drafted something that says ALAC members are encouraged to consult with the RALO from their region, but have free will to vote as they feel best for at-large, ALAC, and ICANN. And the ICANN one is critical there, because we are selecting an ICANN board member. Cheryl suggested, I'm not sure if you were proposing that we keep the consultation sentence in, but said voting, however, will be undirected to be made at the best interest of.
Yeah, I was suggesting keeping the consulting sentence in and that being the change at the end of the sentence.
So you prefer undirected as opposed to free vote, or free will?
Undirected makes it clear.
Okay.
Because the one before talks about directing.
Okay. All right, I'll try to reword that, and you, of course, will take a careful look at it when you see it. Anyone else have any comments on this?
No.
Okay. We're at the hour. Can people bear with me? We just have another one or two items to do.
Yeah.
And we won't have to have a call next week. The
last
one I see here is
22.1.2. Yep.
A request submitted by, oh, this is the recall. An ALAC member to your call or reason for also must be posted. Okay, all I've done here is from an earlier version is basically make it clear, you know, it's going to the distribution list. In this case, I think the distribution list, at least my recommendation, is going to be to the chair and staff. In other words, we're not necessarily going to broadcast this to the person who we're trying to recall. They'll be notified, of course, but that shouldn't be the moment that it happens. And I have removed that. This section originally had appointees, and I have put in section 20, which says an appointee can be withdrawn. Appointment can be withdrawn by a simple vote of the ALAC. Same process was used to put them in. So I don't know if anyone has any problems with this.
Yeah.
These are all sections that I can't imagine we're likely to use, but we need to have there just in case.
I'm happy with that. That's fine.
And I think we're done. We need to have a couple of things offline. One thing I will ask you, the original version of the selection of the chair had rules there which essentially amounted to, if we have five people running and someone gets four votes and the other people get three, the one with four votes would become the chair. In other words, whoever had the most votes won. There was a general feeling that this was not acceptable, that we really wanted a chair. We're giving the chair a fair amount of power, and the chair should be at the very least put in by a majority of the full ALAC. Hopefully more than that, but at least the majority of the full ALAC. Given that, there was a significant amount of rewriting that had to be done to allow for all of the multiple cases of, you know, having multiple people competing and ties in the first position, ties in the last position, and various things like that. So there was a significant amount of redrafting that went into there. I ask everyone on the group to read that section over and make sure that there aren't cases which I missed. In other words, situations which were not covered, which could put us in a bind where our rules do not allow us to select the chair. So it's a critical area. I think I caught all of them. Perhaps not in the most elegant way, but I think I caught all of them. So I do ask you to look at that section carefully. Other than that, I'll get a new version out in a day or so. And at that point, unless we hear, I've got a couple of things I said I would deal with privately with a few people. None of them are substantive, but all of them have to be addressed. I'll do that. And the next version, I guess, goes to the ALAC and to the community.
Okay, Cheryl, on that, I just want to make it really clear to the pen holders that when this draft now goes to ALAC for the ALAC comment/review, and then it will go to vote, they are going to be specifically asked to have to funnel any regional or ALS or community comments through their ALAC members. Right? We are not opening, yes, it's going to be open for public review, but we are not taking rewrites or even formatting suggestions directly from the ALSs and the public. Right? There may be some people who think that it's not a good idea. The answer to that is tough. This is ALAC, once this goes out from us, this is ALAC deliberation and then vote. If there are issues that we have for some reason totally missed and they are raised, someone in the ALAC has to raise them. Are we all clear and happy on that point? Because if we're not, we won't be able to stand unified and argue for it.
There's a related one, a related issue also. To approve these, we're going to need a two-thirds vote of the ALAC.
Correct.
I am hoping that, and as alluded to earlier in the discussion, we do not have many, many, it's fine, but I want to change the wording in this sentence. This group and the groups behind us have hashed out these in enormous detail. We do not have the easy ability of putting a rationale between each of the several hundred individual paragraphs in this document, but virtually every paragraph has been discussed, and what is there is there because it reached a very significant consensus, if not unanimity, of the group that was discussing it. We're going to have to make sure that message gets passed. The people who did not participate in this at all chose not to participate, but they can't rewrite the whole thing afterwards.
No. So, Alan, Cheryl here. I would be calling for all of you who are pen holders or have been involved in the drafting teams, because we have ALAC members who didn't hold a pen but who are in a drafting team. It's going to be up to you all to stand in the ALAC lists and meetings and say exactly that. You've all got to be strong. You've all got to be saying, you know, half the ALAC wrote these rules, guys. The rest of you had the opportunity to be involved. Just give us any views and then we'll get on with it.
Yeah, I mean,
We'll write appropriate text to go out and explain it to, unfortunately, there's always some people on the list who just seem to be asleep at the wheel. But you guys have to stand firm. Don't use this as an opportunity to rehash over dotting an I or crossing a T. This has to be completed very, very quickly.
Is there any other business? Because I'd like to close the call if not.
Yeah, well, just one comment. There are going to be things that people point out that we got wrong. I mean, there's no doubt someone's going to catch something which we didn't do consciously, and we do need to catch those. But, you know, those hopefully will be minimal and will not be onerous. There will not be issues of great substance. There will be just things that have to be fixed.
Things, hopefully, that's going to be the case. And I think we've had, with people like Rinaldi going over those, most of them caught anyway.
I hope
so. All right,
so.
Fingers crossed, next version is the one that goes live. Stand United team is what I'm saying to all of you AWAC members. And let's get this through. It'll be up to Olivier to decide how long it's going to be for discussion on any particular point. Is something specifically significant is brought up. So it goes back to the chair at this time to see if, as Alan said, something brought up that everyone goes, oh dear, that is important. He could change the timeline. Other than that, we stick to the timelines that are published. Ladies
okay.
and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Yes.
Is there any other business? And then we will close our call.
Yeah, Yovi asked me to repeat what you said. I don't know when that came. Yovi, the recording will be out very, very soon. I'm going to suggest you pull the recording in. Listen there, because I don't even know which of Cheryl's pieces it was on.
Yeah,
Alan,
I'm
ready to call.
See you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Cheryl, you were saying something?
It was the rationale of Stand United. He is a
okay.
Let him talk to him and make sure he stands united with you all.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.